Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to 1 John chapter 5. Well, this is the highlight of your week. Amen. Whether you know it or not, it is. Because you're about to hear from God. Say, you think you're God? No. Thank God I'm not God. You're glad I'm not God. Just like I'm really glad you're not God. But God's going to speak through me this morning. And something's going to be said from up here that is going to be exactly what you need to hear. It's going to be like a bullseye for your heart. And you're going to say, how in the world did he know to say that? Well, I didn't, but God did. And what it is, don't miss it, it's a sign unto you, number one, that he's real. Number two, that he loves you and has a good plan for your life. But number three, that this is a place where you can hear from God. I mean, when people get word that God's talking in South Dayton, they're going to come. Amen. When the people get word that God's moving in South Dayton, the masses are going to come. When people get word that God's healing and signs, wonders, and miracles are happening in our midst, in our church, the people are going to come. Amen. He's a real God. He's a powerful God. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to take your life and make it so much better. So buckle up and get ready, because here we go. Amen. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the word. We're so grateful and so thankful for all that you have given us, all that you have done for us. Father, speak through me this morning that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I want to speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Just like the psalmist of old said, Father, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Words in season, speaking to people's hearts, hitting bullseyes in their hearts this morning. Father, I thank you that you're going to speak to every single person here and help them and give them answers to things, give them direction to things. And Father, it's a sign unto them that you're real, that you love them, and that you can talk to them in this place, and this is a safe place they can come. So Father, we thank you for what's about to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. We're going to start a new series today that's been brewing in my heart for a while. So if you're here for the first time, or if you're just here for this first service, you came the right time. Praise God. Well, look at what the Bible says here. Now, the Bible's the Word of God, God's will and desires on paper for us. Just like somebody would leave you a will and paper, letting you know what they want, what their wishes are. This is what the Word of God is. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so the Bible says if you're born of God, you have the legal, biblical right to be an overcomer in this world. Well, what does it mean to be born of God? It just means to have accepted Jesus. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, born again is simple. It might sound religious and scary, but all that means is you believe that Jesus was, you believe that he died and rose again, and you ask him into your heart. It's that simple. Religion will tell you it's harder, but that's what the Bible says. It's simple to get accepted by God. So the Bible says when you do that, you now have a legal right to overcome the world. Well, what does that mean, overcome the world? Well, heaven has a flow to it. In heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there's no disease. In heaven, there's no poverty. In heaven, there's no depression. In heaven, there's no stress. In heaven, there's no anxiety. In heaven, there's no worry. In heaven, there's no fear. All that stuff is gone in heaven. So all that stuff is of the world. And the Bible says that if you're born of God, you have the legal right to overcome all those things. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called days of heaven upon the earth. Jesus prayed that in the prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will, your will be done where? On the earth as it is, or just exactly like it's going on in heaven. Well, what's going on in heaven? Peace, prosperity, joy, victory, health, happiness, excitement, glory to God. And Jesus said, I'm praying. Jesus would never pray anything that he couldn't have. That would be stupid. He's praying, Father, what's going on up there, I want it to go on down here. So if your life is void of peace, joy, prosperity, health, happiness, excitement, victory, all those things, I got your answer. Praise God. Say, thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. I'll just pat myself on the back. Of course, I'm just messing around. God's got your answer. Praise God. Amen. But this is the victory that overcomes the world. So the Bible says you have the legal right to overcome the world, but the Bible also said there's an avenue or a way we walk out this victory. It's even our, everybody say our, talking about you, not your pastors, not your spouses, not your grandmas, not your grandpas, not your coworkers. The way you're going to overcome the world and walk into heaven on earth is by your faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Your faith. And so we're starting a faith series. Now, we preach a lot about faith. I have not done a series on faith since May 2015. It's been on my heart to start one. Why? Because if you're going to overcome or not, you can't leave your faith on the sidelines.
That's good.
See, the things that the devil throw at you, like the stealing, the killing, and destroying, that he's so good at, he is so skilled at that. Well, the one thing that's going to defeat him and get us into overcoming is our faith. So we better be just as, or if not more skilled at faith as he is stealing, killing, and destroying. And you can't preach on faith enough. The Bible says faith is how we overcome. The Bible says faith is how we please God. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says that's how we walk. We walk by faith. The Bible says we receive the promises of God through faith. And then also the Bible says in Ephesians 6, it says that we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one through faith.
Amen.
I had one person one time say to me, they said, "Pastor, all you preach on is faith." Well, that made me mad. It did. Because I said to him, I said, number one, you're wrong. I said, go look at the archives. There's messages on healing, which always is going to have faith. There's messages on worry, there's messages on what to do with your money, what to do with your kids, how to live life, love walk, all sorts of different messages. I said, you're wrong, number one. I said, and let me just tell you, number two, what you're saying. By saying, oh, pastor, all you preach on is faith. I mean, it made me mad, so I got sarcastic right back at him. I said, you're telling me all you preach on, pastor, is how to be an overcomer. I mean, I'm so sorry for that. All you preach on, pastor, is how to learn to receive what God has for me. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry I didn't do that. All you preach about is teaching me how to please God. All you preach about is teaching me how to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'll tell you what, if that's all I preached on, you'd have it better than most places would. Because most places tell you how bad it is, how hard it is, and how you can't have good things till you get to heaven. Not here. We're going to have days of heaven on the earth. But it's going to come through your faith. If I could carry you, I would. But I can't. It's your faith that's the victory to overcome. So we better be skillful with our faith. Amen?
Amen.
How your life turns out has way more to do with you than God.
That's right.
People are looking to heaven. Oh, Father, help me overcome. Help me overcome. He's saying, I did. I gave you faith.
Amen.
You know what faith is like? You ever played? I like Monopoly.
Yeah.
I like when I get Park Place and Boardwalk and get all the hotels built up and take everybody's money. I enjoy that. But the one thing I like about it is when you get a get out of jail free card. So you know what that means? When I land on or get a card or whatever, it says go directly to jail. Do not pass. Go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to jail. I don't worry. Why? I got the card.
Yeah.
So when the world's troubles come at me, I just pull out of my get out of jail free card. It's called faith. And it causes me to overcome, and it causes me to walk into good things. I'm thankful for faith. It's the trump card in my back pocket when the devil stirs up trouble. When the world stirs up trouble, faith, overcome, boom, victory, I win, you lose. Hallelujah. Mark 11:23. So let me just say this way, and I'll just be bold to say it like this. You know, people pray for boldness. The Bible says to pray for your man or woman of God to be bold. You want me to be bold because there are times that I need to say some things that are not very comfortable to say, but need to be said. And if I don't have boldness, they won't be said because I'm just as much a human being as you are. And I have those same temptations of fear and worry to back off saying the things that God would want me to say because sometimes they're not well received. But I'll tell you what, if we pray for boldness, I'll just be up here just yapping away. Just as bold as can be, praise God. So I'll say this boldly. I just declared to this church, every single person that heard me, that I'm going to teach you in this series how to overcome anything that comes your way in the world. And I guarantee you somebody won't be here next week. And I guarantee you somebody won't be here the next week. I guarantee it. I'm putting out the warning right now. I'm telling you, if you'll listen to this series and get it in your heart, I promise you, you'll learn how to overcome anything that comes your way. I remember I preached on a financial series a few months ago, And I said right from the get-go, in this series, I'm going to show you everything that can hinder your prosperity. I said, we're going to lay it out, show you how to get the money that you need. It's easy to get the money you need. Listen, money is so simple to get when you know how to do it by God. Amen. It's just simple. It's absolutely simple when you understand how to do it by God. And then I preached all those things, all the things that hinder you and stuff like that. And there were people that were there the first week when I declared it, never saw them for 2-3 weeks in a row. People that come to me about money problems. Yes. People that come to me about money problems. And I tell them and they're gone. So it's up to you. Glory to God. So I'm just telling you, be here to hear the word. Mark 11:23. These are the most glorious words that ever fell from the Master's lips concerning faith. He said in verse 23, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Bible says you can move mountains with your words. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So the Bible says that you can make the natural change by your faith, through saying and through praying. You can move mountains, you can bring things to you, you can cause things to manifest through prayer, by faith. Praise God. Aren't we glad for that? You know what faith does? It gives you the opportunity to not have to settle for what the world gives you. What last name you grew up in, what culture you grew up in, what part of the America you grew up in, what mommy and daddy did, and how that left you with lack and not enough. Whatever was running through the genes of the family, whatever sickness and disease was running through, faith gives you the opportunity to change that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. I'm so thankful for faith.
Amen.
So he says you can have what you say. He says you can have what you pray. Praise God. He's good. But notice what verse 22 says. Before Jesus says you can have what you say and you can have what you pray, he says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Why? Because your saying and praying is not what causes the victory or the manifestation to show up. You can't make the money show up. You can't make the healing show up. You can't make the job or the vehicle that you need maybe necessarily show up when there's impossible situations, but he can.
Amen.
Our faith in him is what makes it come to pass. So before he says you start spouting off at the mouth and saying and spouting off at the mouth praying, you better first have faith in God.
Amen.
Amen? Why? Because he's the one that's going to cause it to come to pass.
Right.
Back when I was on my world tour of who knows what I was doing. 26 jobs, 5 or 6 different colleges, different professions that I proclaimed that I mean, my family at one time thought I was going to be a fisherman in Alaska. I can't even go on Lake Erie without barfing my brains out. Can you imagine me on one of those boats in Alaska? Oh, but that's what I said I was going to do. I thought I was going to do all sorts of different things. Went to school for one major was speech pathology, one major was occupational therapy, one major was physical therapy, one major was phys ed, one major was regular teacher, and that's all that I can remember. And I'm not kidding. I in and out, in and out, in and out. Well, back when I was going to Brockport, and I can't even remember why I was there. At the what? Phys ed, she said. I was there for phys ed, Brockport. And, I had a terrible gambling addiction. It's part of my past that Jesus helped me with. I mean, to the point where I'll drive to Casino Niagara in the middle of a snowstorm, lose all my money in 5 minutes and come back home and be craving to go right back up the next time I got any money. Well, one time I went and took, it was with her and a few friends, and I loved to play, I loved the blackjack table. And man, that day I won big, you know, and there were many times I spent all night long playing. A couple times I spent playing with a Buffalo Bill wide receiver. Ever heard of Peerless Price? I played all night long with him one time and at a blackjack table, and twice, I should say, I played at the same table with him. And one day, I won big. What, to me, big in college was $700 or $800. That's big when you're in college, right? I mean, it might as well have been $1 million to me. What's the difference when you're in college? $800 is a lot. And so I thought I was Mr. High Roller, took everybody out to lunch. I mean, tipping the waitress like I'd never tipped before, just, you know, just waving the money. I mean, I hit it big. My numbers were coming up. And so anyways, I thought I hit it big. And so I went home, got back to my dorm, well, not my dorm room, but back to college at my apartment. thought, you know what, I have a good idea. I'm going to take that money that's laid out that I'm staring at and just loving to look at, and I'm going to go double this tomorrow. So I went back to the casino, and I kid you not, I lost all that money in 5 minutes, went to the ATM machine, took out all the money I had on my debit card, lost that in 5 minutes, was on my way back home, and my truck broke down on the 90. I mean, you talk about being down in the dumps. That was a low place for me to be at that point. And so I had to call for a tow truck, but, you know, they needed a credit card number. They weren't going to come do it for free. Well, it's interesting. You know, many people drove by me, especially when I got to the gas station, they told me the repairs, but drove by me on the thruway waiting for the tow truck. I didn't get out and wave a flag or, you know, get out and do jumping jacks to stop somebody and have them roll down their window. Hey, what's going on? I need money for this tow truck. I didn't ask any of those people. Why? I'd had zero confidence in getting the answer. But what I did do, because he bailed my rear end out so many times, I immediately got on the cell phone and called my dad. Because I knew that he's going to get me out of this again, because he always had. I knew the resources Dad had. I knew how Dad felt about me. I knew that he was going to help me and not leave me stranded. So when I dialed that number in that test and trial, I knew the answer was coming. But it all came from the basis of knowing who Dad is. Now, when you face and you have to overcome the world, and the world throws sickness, disease, poverty, and different things your way that seemingly are impossible, and you're going to go to dial Mark 11:24 or Mark 11:23 and start saying or praying, well, remember, he's the one that's going to cause it to come to pass, and you have to have faith. See, I had complete faith in my dad to pull me out. Zero faith in a stranger. But see, the problem is when people start speaking and praying, they're going to the God that's just like a stranger to them. They have no idea, have no faith at all that, well, how God views them, how God looks at them, how God perceives them, what God wants to do for them. They have no idea. None at all. Why? They don't know him. And so therefore, the first stage of faith is understanding who God is and his relationship with you and what he wants to do for you. If you're not sold out to the fact that God wants to help you, to bless you in every situation, to make your life better, that you're not sold out, that you're the apple of his eye, that there's nobody he would rather bless more than you, you will lack in your faith, and you will not have all that God has for you, because that's the first part. He says, before you start praying, you better have faith in God. Well, you know what faith is? Faith is persuasion. Faith is convincing, that you're convinced that when I go to him for a financial problem, it's taken care of. Just like, I wasn't wondering if Dad was going to say no. He might have yelled at me for being an idiot. He might have done that, but I knew it was coming. I had no doubt in my mind, confidence, full faith, full persuasion. Just got to get him on the phone, and that money's coming. Credit card number's coming. Absolutely. That's the way it was. And when people go to God for financial things or healing or they need a job or they need a miracle, most people go with, I sure hope this happens. That's not faith. Faith and hope are not the same thing. No. People go to him with, I'm not sure. That's not faith. Faith says, I'm going and I'm not leaving until I get my answer, and I'm going to get my answer. Well, you don't know that unless you know who God is. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, this is the first starting point of faith. If you want to be a faith giant, you better lay the foundation that God loves you, that he's for you, that he wants to do good for you. 1 Samuel 17 and let's go to verse 32. This is when David came across Goliath, and David got word of what Goliath was chattering and making all this noise, and the armies of Israel were all scared. David's brothers were in the battle. And so David comes to Saul, who's the king at the time, and he says, let no man's heart fail him because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Now, you have to understand, David is a teenage boy, and he's a keeper of the sheep. He's not a man of war. He's not skilled in battle, but he says, I'll go fight him. He says, you're but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and the bear and took a lamb out of the flock, And I went out after him, and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Man, I have trouble killing spiders. I'm just telling you. I mean, there's some spiders that I just feel like I deserved a belt, a championship belt for, because you don't understand. When they come a-crawling, I go a-running. I am no David when it comes to spiders. The servant both slew the lion and the bear. Now notice this. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now notice what verse 37 says. David said, moreover, the Lord. Do you see that? The Lord. See, now David's about to face a trial. David's about to face a mountain of a man that's threatening the armies, and to get past into what David, see, because by killing Goliath, David walked into great favor and great blessings. His whole life changed. See, there's mountains in front of you that are standing in the way of your destiny, that on the other side of that mountain is going to open up a promised land to you that you could have never even imagined would be the truth. There are things standing in your way, hallelujah, that are big, stronger, and look like you can't overcome them. But David said, I know the key. The key is not me. I can't fight this guy, armor for armor or sword for sword or fist for fist. He would squish me. But the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. See, before David went and released his faith, he understood who his faith was in. The Lord. The Lord. He said, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto him, go, do it, basically. Praise the Lord. And we know the end of the story. David got to the mountain. It wasn't trembling, wasn't in fear. He ran towards Goliath. And not only did he run towards Goliath, he was a trash talker. David ran his mouth a little bit. I don't have a problem with people that can run their mouth a little bit that can back it up. He can back it up, right? I mean, I'm not into pride and arrogance or anything like that, but, David ran his mouth. He said, Goliath, this is what's going to happen today. I just want to let you know, you're going to walk out of here the headless Goliath. And I'm going to use your sword to do it, buddy. Praise God. He told him that. He said, I'm going to get you. And he ran towards his mountain. Why? Faith. He wasn't running towards his mountain thinking, okay, remember my training, remember everything that I was skilled with, remember how, what's the step? No, I got God backing me, and that's all I need to know. He had faith in God. His confession and his praying and his actions were backed by the God of heaven and earth. He knew that God has never let him down, that God was there with him with the lion and the bear, and he knew that God's going to be with him in Goliath. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I often, I try to make you think that I'm joking about it, but seriously, I really believe that I am God's favorite, but I try to tell you that it's a joke as to not make you feel bad and beat yourself up, but I joke about that all the time, about being God's favorite. But I want to ask you a question that you need to ask yourself. Do you really believe that God is for you in every situation and circumstance? Everything you're facing right now, do you believe that God wants to turn that thing around and make it so good that you could never even imagine? I mean, you are convinced that if there's anybody on the face of the planet that God would choose to do something for, you'd be at the front of the line, because that's what I believe. That's what I believe. I believe that God will pass over millions of people to get to Mike Anderson. I am fully convinced of it. I believe that God will bypass nations just to get to my situation. Why? I'm his beloved son. I am the apple of my father's eye. Now, you can join in with me, but do you have that belief? Or are you one of these people, I wouldn't bless me if I were him? Or why would God want to do anything for me? Or, oh, I don't deserve it. Has religion creeped in and stole your faith? Because David not only knew God was going to deliver him out of Goliath's hand, but David also said in Psalm 27, he said, what would become of me had I not believed I would see God's goodness? He said, I would have fainted if I didn't have the expectation every day that I'm going to wake up and see God's goodness. In Psalm 23, David said, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. Well, all the days of his life had not come to pass yet. That means he knew when he woke up, goodness and mercy. The next day, goodness and mercy. The next week, goodness and mercy. Why? Had an expectation. But we get so religious-minded, we get so people-minded, what people have fed us, what the world has fed us, and we have no expectation of what God's going to do, and it just absolutely squashes our faith. I think it would shock people to hear the boldness and the expectation that I have when I pray with God, when I pray to him and talk to him. I mean, I flat out tell him, I said, you should not have wrote it down if you did not mean what you said. So either you're going to make this happen or you're a liar, and I'm going to tell everyone in heaven when I get there. You say, oh, well, that's just arrogant. No. That's a son taking his dad at his word. When I tell my son we're doing something the next day, and he comes to me and says, Dad, you said, oh, you bad son, you arrogant son. I said, you're right, buddy, I did say it. Let's go. Yeah. You see, the people that have that have trouble when people call them on their words are the ones that never keep their words. Yeah. Well, amen. I'm someone, you say it, man. It's there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So go to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Getting anything today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise this is where faith starts. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you. He wants to do good things for you, but he needs your faith. You'll never have faith until you get through this. So let's find out how sold out we are to his goodness, because you might shake your head and say, yeah, I believe that. Well, let's find out. For we are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Jake, would you go amplified with that, please? The amplified just brings out the meaning even more. He said, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined and planned beforehand. For us, now notice this. So he's prepared something before us. What are they? Paths. Behold, I have a plan for you, the Lord says. He's got a path laid out for you. That's why we say our job is to get you off of your way and onto God's way, because it's the best way. Amen. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. So there's a path for you. But what does that path entail? It says that we should walk in those paths. What? Living the good life. Amen. In which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Praise God. Let me ask you, is a life ridden and just infiltrated with sickness a good life? No. Is a life infiltrated with poverty and lack and never being able to pay your bills? Is that the good life? No. What about a life of fear and depression and anxiety and just stress? You're just wringing your hands. That's not the good life. The good life he's talking about is the heaven on earth, abundant, Zoe, God kind of life that he prepared for you. Well, are you convinced that the path that he wants you to go on from this point forward is filled with nothing but the good life? You have to ask yourself that. Go to Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Ephesians 3:20. Now look at this. Now unto him that is able. Aren't you glad God's able?
Yes.
To do exceeding abundantly above. What does above mean? Higher.
Yes.
All that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. So the Bible says that your God is a God that can do far above whatever you could ask or even think. Anybody ever have daydreams of things? Imaginations of you driving a certain vehicle, of living in a certain house, or what it would be like to have all your bills paid, to live in the home that you want to live in, to live the life, to work the job that you want. You ever had imaginations or thoughts? Your God can go above those if you'll dare to believe and dream about them. See, some people set the bar so low with God. All they're believing is just minor, small things. And he says, all I got to do is leapfrog what you're thinking and asking. Some people have such a low mentality or view of God that they set the bar so low, they ask low, and they think low. And so God says, oh, that's all I got to do for them, and they're happy. But see, he said, I can do above what you could ask or think. So my asking is big, and my thinking is big, because I want God to have to pole vault over my stuff. Because he said, if I can think it, I'll top it. He said, if I can just think it and dare to ask it, I'll top it. Amen. Praise God. I was releasing my faith for Olean, the building for Olean, for years, saying, Father, I thank you for the right building, the right price, the right time, at the right location. Well, what just happened with us in Olean, a hundred and some thousand dollar building for less than $29,000, is Ephesians 3:20. I was saying right price, right time, right. I mean, he leapfrogged that. He said, I'm going to win the gold, the pole vault. Praise God. He did it. Praise God. But do you believe that for your own life? You amen me because that's pastor's faith, but do you believe it for your own life? Do you believe that God wants to take you financially, physically, relationship, a house, the car you drive, the job you have, and absolutely blow your mind? That's who he is. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, the paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk into, and the abundant, exceeding, above all that we can ask or think, that's future. That's future tense. So let me just quickly correct some things, because if we don't, you'll never get to the future. If you're going to walk in these paths in faith and full expectation, if God needs your faith to bring you the money, to bring you the health, to bring you the peace, to bring you the jobs, to bring you the car, to bring you the whatever you need, if he needs your faith, then you are going to have to get past your past to get into your future. You cannot go two directions at once. Try it. It's hard. I don't know how to do it. You can't. I want to go this way, but I want to go this way too. Can't do it. Can't do it. You can't go two directions at once. You can't go onto the paths that God's prepared, the good life that he prearranged or made ready for you, the exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think life, if you're stuck in your past. What do I mean by that? People have, I'll give you an example. I had somebody tell me recently that they let go of a promise 20-some years ago, and have not been in faith about this promise, and it hasn't come to pass because of disappointments that happened 20 years ago. Listen, you got to let go of all disappointments. You got to let go of all hurts. You got to let go of all fears and understand that from this point forward, all that's out in front of me is the abundant life. All that's out in front of me is the good life. But see, people are so conditioned by hurts and failures and just, you know, they've been molded a certain way that I can't believe for money, I've always been poor. I can't believe for health. We've always been sick in this family. Grandma had this. Grandpa had this. Mom, Dad had this. How can I go forward when it's just in the genes and the doctors are telling me, get ready? Well, see, you better let that past stuff go.
That's right. Amen.
You know who had to do that was Paul. Paul, the greatest apostle in the Bible, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, had more revelation than anybody about God's word, and wrote all those books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, all those books and more, he wrote those, was a murderer of Christians. He murdered Christians, but then went on to preach to them and is still helping Christians today. The Bible said he breathed out, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he breathed out murderous threats, wreaked havoc on the church. Slaughter, the Bible, that's a yucky word. Did it to God's people. But yet God had a plan for him. How is Paul going to get into his future? By letting go of his past. You don't think that when Paul went out to preach to the masses that there wasn't somebody in the audience that was directly connected to one of the families that he had dragged off to prison and killed? Absolutely. Maybe there was a child that didn't have a mom or a dad anymore because of Paul. And yet Paul had to come out and stand before people and tell them, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. God's done a work in me, and God will do a work in you, and God's got a good plan for your life. He had to let go of his past.
Yeah.
You don't think when I come out of that office and I walk down that hallway and come out here that the devil's not chattering? Who do you think you are standing in front of these people? Oh, who do you think you are? If they fully knew everything about your past, my God, they'd run for the hills. That's what he says. I mean, you are just so, just this, you know, not very moral, not very, no integrity, no character. You couldn't keep your word. You had no responsibility. Who are you to think that you can lead people? He chatters. So I chatter right back. I said, I'll tell you who I am.
Yeah. Come on.
You want to know, devil? Okay, let's talk about it. I don't like talking about myself, but let's talk about it.
Come
I am a child of God, blood bought by Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven. I've never done anything wrong. I have no blemishes. I have no past, because the Bible says in God, I have no past. I'm a child of the King. I'm anointed, and I'm equipped, and I'm called, and I'm going to keep giving you black eyes. That's who I am. Praise God. And he stops talking, because who wants to hear that back? I mean, I'd shut up if I were him. Praise the Lord. It's true. Well, you got to get past your past. Listen, stop living your life based on what happened back there. Stop it. Well, not only are you going to have to get past your past, you're going to have to get past your current. To walk into the abundant life and the good life that God's prearranged, what do I mean? Because the current might say how poor you are. The current circumstances and situations might say how broke you are, how sick you are, how there's no hope, right? And you got to get past that. And look, be able to see with an eye of faith unto what God has for you before. And until you do that, you won't walk into that. Joseph had to do that. Here was a man who had a dream when he was younger that in the future his brothers would be bowing at his feet, his older brothers. Well, he got sold into slavery. Then he went and worked for a gentleman. The wife's gentleman wasn't a good woman. Falsely accused him of something. Put him in prison. Ended up in prison knowing the dream that his future was supposed to be wonderful. Now, the current could have kept him out of what God had for him. He could have got unfaithful. He could have got bitter. He could have held a grudge. He could have plotted revenge that would have set him back. But nope, he stayed faithful and believed God. He said, what God has said to me will come to pass. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't matter. The wall right now looks like debt. The wall looks like poverty. The wall looks like sickness. The wall looks like no hope. Maybe you need a new job and they're telling you there's no way. And that's just a wall. That's just a mountain. We know how to move those things. The abundant life, the exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, tells you that that's a mountain mover. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Go to 1 John 4 and verse 16. I'll tell you what. I remember being at Rhema Bible Training Center. And Marty Blackwelder was one of the professor or teachers there. That he's a minister, travels around the country now. And he preached a series on faith, and I remember the first message being about being sold out to God's goodness. And from that point on, I said, wow, because I came into church thinking God was angry with me, thinking that God didn't want me to have very much, thinking that God was okay with me not having enough, thinking that God would just okay with me waiting until I get to heaven. And that'll absolutely stunt your faith. You won't walk into what you have. And I started to see who God was to me. And I'll tell you what, from that moment on, I have refused to box my God in.
That's good. Amen.
I don't attempt to come off as arrogant or cocky in the way I pray. I hopefully am portraying somebody that absolutely knows his relationship with his dad. That absolutely is convinced without a shadow of a doubt that his daddy is for him. That's what I'm hoping to portray. I don't want to get into arrogance or pride or anything like that, because it's all based on him anyways. But look at 1 John 4 and verse 16. Here's another way to find out if you're convinced or not of God's goodness towards you. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So the Bible says God is love. I guess he's not mad and angry and judging you and ready to squash you when you do something wrong. I guess God's not the one sending the hurricanes and the reason why people all over the world are suffering. If God's in control of this world, he is doing a horrible job. He's bad at what he does. But you know, the stealing, killing, and destroying that the Bible says is attributed to the devil, that looks like a lot of that's going on, and that's pretty good at it. But God is love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Herein is our love, verse 17, made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Notice this now. There is no fear in love.
Amen.
Why? Because fear has torment. Perfect love casts out fear. Do you see that? Well, what is God? God is love. Love, where there's love, there is no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. If in your situation right now, if you are afraid or fearful or worried about anything you're facing, job, physical, financial, relationship, whatever, if there's any worry or fear, you have not got a revelation of who your God is. Because why? Perfect love casts that out. When you're made perfect in His love, there's no room for fear. Why would you ever fear when you know who's backing you? There's no reason to fear. The only reason you would fear is because you just don't know who's backing you. It's the truth. Praise God. That's a way to find out. Romans 8:32. We are on the downhill swing here, going, chugging towards the finish line. We will get there shortly. Romans 8:32. Hallelujah. He that spared not His own Son. I'm just going to stop right there, because I'm just going to tell you right now, I would not give my Son for any one of you. I wouldn't even be tempted to give my Son for any one of you. Just telling you the truth. Just like you'd probably say the same thing. I ain't giving you my kid either. Well, you know, I know. But God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Hallelujah. How shall He, God, now see, God's asking this question to the Apostle Paul, and I can see him being like, how, do you not get this? How shall He not with Him freely give you, how many things? All things. What's an all thing? Is prosperity an all thing? Sure it is. Is meeting your needs an all thing? Yes. Is health for your body an all thing? Yes. Help for your children? Yes. The job you need? Yes. The car you need? The house you need? Everything you need is an all thing. He's saying to the church, wake the heck up. How do you not believe that I want to prosper you, that I want to heal you, that I want to give you Ephesians 3:20, that I want to give you the good life? How do you not get that and have full faith for that when hell shows up at your front door? How do you not know it? I already gave you the absolute best thing I ever could have gave you. He's saying, how do you think I would withhold your money or withhold your healing when I gave you everything already? Amen. That's what he's saying. I know by Jesus, money's not a problem. I know because of what he did for me through Jesus, healing is not a problem. The building we need, not a problem. He gave me Jesus, so give me the building. Why would he stop at the lesser things when he already said, I'll do the best thing for you? Praise God. Go to 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John, say, man, we go to a lot of scriptures. Yeah, we're called a Bible church. Yeah. You don't need to hear from me. You need to hear from Him. 1 John 1 and verse 9. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll just put this offer out to everybody here. If you'll commit to being faithful to this place and you'll do everything that's preached from here and you see it's in the Word and you do it, you won't even recognize your life a year from now. And don't come to me and say, Pastor, you said, well, yeah, no, I'm not talking about you that have been here once every 4 or 5 weeks. Now, if I looked at you, I don't mean to look at you. I'm just looking. I don't know who I'm thinking of. I'm not talking about you, the one that calls me and is complaining and moaning and groaning all the time. That won't happen for you. I'm talking about the people that get faithful, hear the Word, do the Word. They will not recognize their life a year from now. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. He's a transforming God. Hallelujah. Praise. I love when people come to me, oh, Pastor, you said this would happen and it didn't happen. Just the fact that you're saying that to me says you got something wrong with you. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's never on Him. The Word is perfect. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, look in the mirror sometimes. Yeah. Figure out where's the major malfunction. It's not with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you're nice, Pastor Mike. I know. Thank you for telling me that. I appreciate that compliment. It's really nice of you to say that. That's what you were thinking. Or not. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, what are sins? Disobedience to God. Sin is going opposite of what God has said to do. Well, we would think that sin would be something that'd get him up all in a tizzy and angry and upset with us. But look what he says the remedy to sin is. He says, if you confess it, he says, I'll be faithful and just. To what? Forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, this is what I want you to see. He said in Romans 8:32, I'll freely give you all things. As his child, when you need money, he sees his child in need. When my child needs something financially or needs to be protected or needs to have something concerning their health, I'm just quick to do it.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says he'll freely give us all things. Now look at this. When we miss it in sin, the only thing that is the remedy for that is forgiveness. That's the only thing that can come back our way to take care of that problem.
Amen.
And notice this. He said, if you confess our sins, you know, the things that we get all worked up and think, oh, God's so mad at us. He said, I am unfaithful and not just if I don't just forgive you of everything you do. Now, this is my point. If he's so quick to give us what we need in the place of when we screwed up, when we turned our back on him, when we didn't do it his way, but yet he's so quick to give us what we need to remedy that, why wouldn't he be so quick to give you what you need when you didn't screw things up, when you didn't turn your back on him? Is that registering? Is that coming across to people? That should make you say, my God, he'll give me my forgiveness when I mess up. Why won't he give me my money? Of course he would. Of course he'd give me the job. Of course my Ephesians 3:20 life is waiting for me. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Romans 5, and we are about two scriptures away from being done. Romans 5. You need to get this in your heart. I know I'm a little weird. I am not ashamed to admit that. And the Bible says I'm a fool for Christ. And I am. I'm a fool for Jesus. And people say we might be a little extreme and might be a little radical, but I'll tell you what, I enjoy never being sick. I enjoy always having my bills paid. I enjoy seeing my kids grow up in the blessings of God and wanting to serve God and being on fire for Jesus. I enjoy everything that comes across my plate walking out in victory. I enjoy never having a check in the loss column. But I'm radical and weird and crazy, so I'm not changing because I kind of like the results of being radical, weird, and crazy. I've just chosen to believe the word of God and to do it to the hilt. To take God at his word and watch him what he's going to do, and he'll do the same for you. Praise the Lord. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Remember that word, ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or demonstrateth or showeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, mark that word, so it's ungodly and sinners. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the Bible calls us ungodly, sinners, and enemies. So when the Bible talks about that we were bought with a price, did you know that you were on the auction block? You were on the shelf for sale. Now, this is talking about ungodly sinners and enemies. It's talking about your days before Jesus, before you were purchased and bought by him. So your condition on the shelf was not pristine. Your condition on the shelf wasn't new and shiny. In fact, in God's terms, you couldn't have been anything farther from what he was because you were ungodly. You were opposite of what he was. That's what you were like on the shelf, right? Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. You need to see this, and you need to meditate on this, and you need to get this in your heart. See, I was so confident to call my dad on the throughway because I knew how he felt about me. I knew what he wanted to do for me. When you get a revelation of how your God feels about you, of what your God wants to do for you, it'll shoot your faith right through the roof. I mean, I'm serious. I wake up every day wondering what amazing things are going to happen today because I serve him. because he's my dad. Caleb wakes up every day. She will mark my words on this. Even the times when he's had a little bit of symptoms on his body, he has not had one day that he has not woke up bushy-tailed and bright-eyed and just smiling. And sometimes I'm like, stop with this. Like, it's too early for this. I mean, every day he runs in with that blanket around his neck, huge smile. Hi, Dad. Every day. Why? He's in such expectation of how good his life is. He loved school. He's dreading going back because he's got it too good at home. That's the truth. He just knows with Dad, there's going to be some excitement going on. He does. And I just know that with my dad. So you were on the auction block, a sinner, ungodly, an enemy. In verse 18, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, that means purchased, with corruptible things as silver and gold, but, or from your conversation received by attrition from your fathers, verse 19, but. So now he's going to tell you what he paid for you. So God is at the auction. Just picture this. This is how my mind works. I picture this now. God is at the auction, and they wheel out humanity. And humanity, this is the condition this in. It's, you know, kind of like with baseball cards, they'll rate them certain condition based on the crease they have in them, how you know, the condition, if there's any tears, rips, or anything like that. And they call it mint condition or, you know, close to mint or whatever. I can't remember the terms. I used to be into that when I was a little kid. But and then there's all the way to the bottom where it's not worth hardly anything. Well, they would wheel you in and say, we just want you to know the condition of the next item. The auctioneer's announcing it off. The condition of the next item is not good, but we're trying to get rid of it. It is ungodly. It's not anything like God. Well, what's God? God's perfection, God's beauty, God's wonderful. So it's none of that. It's awful. It's miserable. It doesn't have much to offer. It's an enemy of God. So it's actually opposing God. And they're actually sinners. They do the very things that God sent Jesus to take care of. They're just, it's this awful condition. So they wheel you out, and everybody else and all, everybody else at the auction is thinking, ew. Ew. I don't want that. I'm not going to buy that. Like, who goes into the store looking to buy the dented item on the shelf? When there's a box and there's like five or six boxes behind and the one in the front is torn and ripped up, is that the one you put in your cart, or do you put that aside and grab the one behind it? Who grabs the one that's damaged? Who goes to buy the one that doesn't work? You know, there's boxes there and this one says out of order, damaged. Oh, I think I want that one. No. But God is different. He saw something in us. He saw past that in verse 19, and says, we weren't purchased with those other things in verse 18, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, why am I saying this to you? You can find out what something is worth in life by what somebody is willing to pay for it.
That's right. Amen.
There are baseball cards with men's pictures on them that people will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for. I wouldn't. I would never. It's not worth it to me. But you get some people, and they'll line up to get a chance to bid on that card. Why? What they pay for is a direct example or illustration of what that card is worth to them. Might not be worth much to you, but it's worth a whole lot to them. Well, in the same way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know how much you're worth to God, when you were on the auction block in the worst possible condition, in the worst shape of your life, he pulled out his wallet and he took the bidding to the highest place right from the get-go. He didn't start low and work his way up. He said, I'll give him the best that I have for that. I want that. Here's the blood of my son. That's how much you're worth to me. So stop fretting about your finances. Stop fretting about your life and your sickness and your jobs. He already showed you are so valuable to him that he will just pay the top dollar for you. Why would he not walk you through this life into victory, into prosperity, into peace? The only reason it's not happening is because you're not cooperating with him. You have not hooked your faith up to what he wants to do for you. Because he can't automatically do it. He said, the victory that overcomes the world is your faith. Gave you Jesus. We just have not got that revelation of how wonderful that is. He gave you Jesus to welcome you into his family. My God. That destroys self-esteem problems. That destroys money problems. That destroys physical problems. If he'll give me Jesus, he'll give me anything I need.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
You need to hear this over and over and over and over and over and over, because we're quick to get the confession out of our mouth and we're quick to start speaking to the mountain, yet we don't believe a lick of what, we don't have any backbone to that at all. We just say, well, if I just say it and say it and say it, it'll come to pass. No. I know when I say it, heaven's backing me. Whatsoever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever I bind in heaven will be loosed on the earth. You know that verse. You get the gist. See what I mean? Lord, why'd he put me here? I don't know. I'm not sure. Praise the Lord. But I'm here, so you're going to have to deal with it. Praise God. Basically, what I'm trying to tell you is heaven's backing you. Meditate on what he did for you, how he did it. I mean, it's so foundational and basic, but I'll tell you what. Eyes are open today. I'll tell you, what awaits me is my best life ever. And if you're sitting here all grumpy and you're sitting here all, it's good for someone else, you just don't know. And you just go on and you keep living without. And you go on and keep being on this roller coaster of emotions and this roller coaster of never getting enough. You go ahead and do that, but I'm not going to do it. I choose to accept and believe what he did for me. And because of that, it's going to propel me into the best life ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We bless you and honor you and glorify you. Excuse me. Oh, Jesus, you are so wonderful. We honor you and bless you this morning. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I think it would be a good thing to just thank him right now that he bought you. Do you know the way that he looks at you? You know, when you're, his head's bowed and eyes closed, when you're just infatuated with somebody, you just can't see any wrong in them. Everything about them is just perfection to you. That's the way God views you. He sees you as his precious daughter or son whom he paid so much for. He didn't pay that price for you to join his family to suffer. He paid that price for you to get you into more. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the way you look at me. I thank you for the way you view me. Oh, Father, I am so loved this morning. I can feel it. I know it. Your arms are just wrapped around me all the time, walking with me through this life, giving me advice, instruction, and wisdom, and revelation, help me navigate through things. Father, I thank you for the life that is to come. Thank you for all that is ahead for us, Father. If I could ask everybody to keep their heads bowed and their eyes closed, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If the answer is, I don't know, I'm not sure, or I don't think, or I think I would, or I don't think I would, man, get off the fence of eternity. Like, maybe you say, this church is so different than any church I've ever been. I didn't know God was this real, and I didn't know God made it this simple. Well, he did, because he made it simple for people like myself who need it to be simple, to understand it. And maybe you're here and you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I sure would like to go to heaven. You know, I've lived a good life and I've tried to be good to people. And I've even attended church every once in a while. But, you know, those things are great and you're to be commended for being a good person. But those things don't get you into heaven. The Bible says that unless a man goes through Jesus, see, if your good works or your church attendance or your kindness or your acts of generosity could get you into heaven, then Jesus didn't need to die. But on the same token, here's good news. You might say, I don't think I'm qualified. I don't think I'm good enough. I haven't gone to church enough, or I haven't been that good of a person, or boy, I have a laundry list of wrong things I've done in my life. Well, here's good news, that your good works can't get you in, but your bad works can't keep you out. Because the Bible says the measuring line is Jesus. And so if you're here today and you can say, I do believe in Jesus, I believe he died and rose again. I do believe that. Well, then that's all you need to be qualified to go to heaven. That's it. Jesus said, if you call on my name, you'll be saved. He didn't say if you jump through a million religious hoops, you don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to, do religious backflips to get God to accept you. No, you just got to believe in his son. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I promise I won't embarrass anybody. I'm not going to have anybody come to the front or stand up or say anything on their own. But if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed and you can say, I want to receive Jesus, I want heaven to be mine, but I want to become a child of God and experience all these things that you're talking about, Pastor. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you just lift your hand in the air? I'll have you put it right down after you raise it. I'm not going to embarrass you. I see those hands. You can put them down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. I saw three hands. Praise the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't want to rush this. See, we're not going to embarrass you. Is there anybody else that wants to get included in this prayer and receive Jesus and know that you know that you know that you're heaven bound? With heads bowed and eyes closed, just slip your hand in there if you haven't already. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Father, I don't see any other hands, but I thank you for the three that we did have. And Father, I thank you that it's not the hand raising that gets us saved. So if you're here and you were shy, or if you're listening by live stream and you're thinking, you can't see my hand, well, it doesn't have anything to do with your hand. I just like to know who I'm praying for. But if you're here and you can say, I want to be included in that prayer, I just am shy to raise my hand. Well, you can be included. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved, not if you raise your hand. So the last thing we have to do then, since you said you believe, is we have to ask him into your heart. Now, I told you you're not going to say anything on your own or be embarrassed, and I meant it. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and everybody in the church, along with the people that raised their hand, let's pray this prayer together and mean it from the bottom of our heart. Everybody say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. People saved and born again. Man, I'll tell you, what's better than that? Well, before we close, a few couple announcements. Don't forget that, I shouldn't say don't forget. I need to tell you this for the first time. If you raised your hand, the next step for you is to get planted in a Bible-teaching church, because that's where you learn about all that God has for you, and you get to have faith for those things. Listen, you can go to heaven without ever coming back, but you won't walk into all the things that God has for you unless you're taught about them and learn how to appropriate faith towards those things. So get hooked up somewhere. Doesn't have to be here, but make sure it's a Bible-teaching one. And then also, don't forget, we have fellowship time after the service. Goodies, you know, snacks and drinks and stuff like that. And if you're unfamiliar where that is, just go out these doors and down to our left and through the division there where we hook the old church to the new church, and just go follow the crowd and you'll find where we're having fellowship. So I encourage you to stick around. That's what they did in the Bible. They hung out together. You might as well like each other now. We got to spend eternity together. Just get over it. You're stuck with me forever. I am coming to your mansion in heaven to bug you. So make a little chamber for me or a little recliner. I'm coming. You're not going to get rid of me. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for all of your goodness, all of your mercy. Thank you for where we're going. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30. You're dismissed.